formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Good morning. I want to thank you for joining us here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I am your host for A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. Today, I want to talk about something that's very sensitive. I'm going to be as transparent as possible because this certain situation or issue has hit my doorstep, and I am dealing with this situation now as we speak. I want to talk to you very briefly about grief, depression, anxiety, and mental illness. I have a 17-year-old son whom I love dearly. In 2016, September 1st, our daughter, his sister, was murdered. In the way that she was murdered, it was very brutal. She was sexually assaulted, she was strangled, and then he dumped her body in a house and set her on fire. My 17-year-old son, of course, through the trial and just conversation, is aware of what happened, how it happened, where it happened. But today, I want to speak to you not necessarily about my daughter, but I want to speak to you about my son. Sometimes as parents, we don't take the time to really recognize that our children are going through something. A lot of times we may chalk it up as they're trying to get attention. They're just acting out. It's a teenage thing. Well, I'm here to tell you today that my son is not acting out. My son is not trying to get attention because he gets that anyway. But what my son is dealing with is grief as a teenager. He is dealing with a problem that we simply just don't understand. Me, myself, when my daughter was murdered, I for one, and this is just me, I'm not saying this is for everybody, I just didn't believe or agree with counseling because I felt like that when you go into somebody's office, you sit there for maybe an hour and you spill out your problems or your issues. What happens after that? You write them a check, you say thank you for your time, and you go on about your business. They go home to their family. You, on the other hand, go home, and my daughter's still not there. So all those feelings that I just spilled out come rushing right back. Because she's still not home. She's still not in the house. I still don't see her for her birthday. I don't see her for Thanksgiving. I don't see her for Christmas. So what do you do? Now, with my son, we knew there was an issue, or there is an issue, but as of recent is when it really started hitting. To see him withdraw from school, to see him withdraw from his family, to see him want to hang out with certain people, do certain things that we didn't quite feel comfortable with. But what hurt the most is when my son said, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be with my sister. Which basically tells you that he wants to commit suicide. Things just got serious. I implore, I am asking parents to not just put your children to the side when they're going through something like this. Become aware of what they're dealing with. Become aware of what they're thinking. Become aware of how they're feeling. Children, it's their job to work your nerves. It's our job to raise them and to love them. I don't want anybody to make the mistakes that I may have made as a father. Don't claim to be perfect. Never said I was the best dad in the world. I love my children. And at right now, as we are seeking professional help for him, as a father, and even my wife as a mother, we feel helpless because we don't know what to do. We don't. If you say something that you may think is okay, he may go from 0 to 100. The anger issues, the I hate this house. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be with Robin. I want to be with my sister. So every time that he walks out the front door, our minds just begin to wander. We begin to race. We just don't know what to think. We don't know what to say or what to do. Me personally, I don't go to sleep until I know he's back in the house. But I'm retired. My wife still works, so she's got to get some rest. So I do, at nighttime, I do the worrying for both of us. But these are some of the things that we are dealing with him is, one, withdrawal. Two, the anger. Three, the denial. Four, the possible suicide thoughts or what have you. So we are dealing with a lot. And what we need to understand is what you may think is not grief. It is grief to them. They just don't realize it or understand it. They say, well, what's going on with me? What am I going through? Why am I feeling this way? Children may show grief differently than adults. Children may have a particularly hard time understanding and coping with the loss of a loved one. Sometimes children appear sad and talk about missing the person, or they may act out. Other times they play, interact with friends, and or their usual activities. Now, when I was an employee with the School District of Philadelphia and working closely at the students at either Frankfort High School or Bethune Elementary, trying to understand what our children are going through, it really was an eye-opener for me to see the children come into school and they may be angry, they may be upset, they may, what is going on at home? You know, we don't live with these children. We don't go to their house. And when they come to school, we may jump on them about something they said or did, but not really understanding or realizing why this took place. What's behind the anger? What's behind the issues? What are they dealing with at home? For example, I didn't realize that there were so many high school children in the city of Philadelphia who go to school every day and are actually homeless. I didn't realize how many school students go to school in Philadelphia, high school or where have you, and have no food to eat. That when lunchtime comes, they are filling their pockets, they're eating the food. I just was not aware. And I said to myself, I said, there's got to be something that we can do to help these children. So even though they may interact with friends or do the usual activities, as a result of measures taken to limit the spread, to limit the violence, to limit the killings, they may also grieve over a loss of routine, such as going to school. Right now, my son is on a cyber school. He's online. And his desire is to be around people, his friends. He wants to go to school. He wants to be a part of. Right now, that may help the situation, but because of how he's feeling about his sister, do we want to take a chance on him going to school and lashing out at someone because they said or did something to him or looked at him the wrong way? Not that my son is violent. He's not. He's not a violent person. He's not someone who goes seeking and looking for trouble. Everyone who talks to him and talks to us says that he's very well-mannered. He's a nice person to be around. So we don't want to put him in a situation that he cannot help himself and gets caught up in something. Parents and other caregivers play an important role in helping children process their grief. So I'm going to give you some ideas of what you can do to help support a child who may be experiencing grief. Ask questions to determine a child's emotional state and better understanding their perceptions of the event. How did the person die? Where were they at? What were they doing? Give them a better understanding of what took place. Give children permission to grieve by allowing time for children to talk or to express thoughts or feelings in creative ways. As parents, it's our natural, it's very natural for us to take charge because we are parents. It's very natural for us to feel that we have all the answers, that whatever you say, especially about my child, doesn't matter. I'm his parent. But sometimes we have to open our hearts and minds and listen. Listen to what our children are feeling. Listen. And you heard what I said. Listen to what they are feeling. Listen to what they are saying. Stop trying to overtalk and overrun them. They are the ones dealing with the hurt and the pain. Provide age and developmentally appropriate answers. Don't talk to them like they have a master's degree just because you have one. Come down to their level. Meet them where they're at. Take care of yourself and model coping strategies for your child. Maintain routines as much as possible. They're going to mimic what they see you do. If mom and dad are out there smoking weed, I'm going to smoke weed. If mom and dad are out there drinking, I'm going to drink because they've shown me that it's okay. And it's not okay. And it's unfortunate, but we tend to gravitate to these things when we're going through something because we feel that it eases the pain. Spend time with your child, reading, coloring, or doing other activities they enjoy. Now, as for me, my wife and I, we have a nonprofit called Central Philadelphia Parents of Murdered Children. I felt that it was important enough to speak to my board of directors and to have them take over while I step back and be with my son, to let him know that he is important and that we do love him. Signs that a child may need additional assistance include changes in their behavior, such as acting out, not interested in daily activities, changes in eating and sleeping habits, persistent anxiety, sadness, and depression. It's very important that we pay attention to these signs. It's very important that we look to see, look to hear, look to just feel the situation out. What is he going through? Why is he acting this way? Now, my son will talk to us, and he has said he's going through this because of losing his sister. So it's very important that we understand that we have to be part of their life, because if you shut them out, if you shut them down, you're done. You're done. The situation is going to get volatile, and if you shake up nitroglycerin, it's going to explode. Well, in this situation, if you shake them up, it is going to explode. So we have to be aware of the signs. Remember what I said, anxiety, sadness, depression, withdrawal, sleeping messed up sleeping habits, persistent anxiety. The best thing that you can do is when you begin to see these things is to speak to your child's healthcare provider. If troubling reactions seem to go on for too long, you don't want this to draw out and fester. And he may grow up to keep this inside of him, but you don't want it to come out later. Interfere with school or relationships with friends or family. Or if you are unsure or unconcerned about how your child is doing, I think that everybody would be concerned if they see their child going through a situation or going through certain things. It's important that we understand that we cannot allow these things to just go by the wayside and put it like nothing ever happened. We have a saying with Parents of Murdered Children, hurt people, hurt people. And we don't want to see our children out there hurting people. Support. It's important that we support our children. It's important that we get to the bottom of the situation. Let them know that you're interested in how they feel. You're interested in what they are doing. You're interested in their day. How are things going? So with me, I have, as I said, stepped back from parents of murdered children, and I have decided to spend time with my son. I've decided to continue even more to love on him and to let him know. Every day I'm shaking his hand. I give him a hug. I say, I love you. I'm here for you. And he knows that I'm here for him. He knows that his mother is here for him. He knows that she loves him. So whatever you do, don't push it to the side. When I think about the School District of Philadelphia and I think about the students that go to these schools, and in the back of my mind, I say to myself, how many of these children are dealing with grief? How many are dealing with depression? How many are dealing with loss? How many are dealing with anxiety? How much time are we really taking to find out how our children are doing? You know, last night I was watching the news and it came across my phone. It said a four-year-old killed himself because he found a loaded firearm, 9mm, I believe, sitting on a toy, which is basically a dollhouse. Now, I don't know too much about the case, so I can't get into it anyway. But the thing is, the stepdad, I believe it was, admitted that it was his. He also admitted that it was a routine for him to set this gun on this dollhouse. You know, this particular four-year-old child at this point became curious, picked the gun up, started playing with it, and the mother was actually in the same room. And as she said, as she turned and saw the child with the gun, I'm praying that she went to go after it, but he had already pulled the trigger. So here's a four-year-old who's gone. And I believe they said there was a two-year-old in the room as well. How do you handle that? How do you process that? Especially when you're in that mother, my heart goes out to mother. How do you process watching your child shoot themselves? A four-year-old at that. We're not talking about a 16, 17, 18-year-old. I mean, any child, but here's a four-year-old child who has enough strength to pull the trigger. So we really need to get involved with what our children are doing, what they're going through, how they're feeling. Talk to them, spend time with them. There's nothing wrong with that. We find that, you know, social media, it plays a big part. They're all showing videos of somebody getting shot. They're showing videos of somebody fighting. They're showing videos of somebody getting robbed. They're showing videos of the violence that's taking place in this city. How does this affect our children? I live on a block in Logan section, which is pretty active, but this summer I barely saw any children out, if any at all. I'm not going outside. Kids on the news saying, I'm not going outside to play. I'm not going to the store because I might get shot. Now, I'm not that old. I'll be 60 in April, and I don't remember ever having to go through that. One thing that I never tell my children is I never say to my children, when I was your age, this is what I did, this is what I didn't do. Because I've come to the realization that I was never my child's age. I was never my child's age because what the children are going through today is nothing compared to how we lived back then. And we need to understand that every time we say that, you know, I never had to look over my shoulder when I went to school. I never had to worry about somebody pulling a gun out. I never had to worry about somebody grabbing me and throwing me in a van or trying to kidnap me. I never had to worry about the sex trafficking issues. I never had to worry about things like that. But here we are today where these things you have to worry about. You have parents who said, I'm not sending my child to school. I will homeschool them. At least I know they're safe. We have parents that say, no, I'm not sending my child to the store. I'll go to the store or I'll go with them to the store. The sad thing is, for me, is that we are sitting here living our life every day like none of this is taking place. We get up, we go to work, we plan our trips, we plan our cruises, we plan our parties, we plan this, that, and the other. And it's nothing wrong with trying to take your mind off of what is happening. But one thing that we can't do is we cannot ignore it. We cannot just allow things like this to go unnoticed. You can't ride a SEPTA train without somebody shooting you. You can't ride a SEPTA train without somebody raping you. You can't ride a SEPTA train without, I remember years ago, a guy was asleep on a train. Another guy got on the train. He reached in a book bag, pulled out a hammer, and just started hitting the guy. When do we begin to fight these things? When do we begin to realize that there's a situation, there's an issue, there's something going on that should not be happening? Why do we have to walk around in danger? The city is trying to do all they can. They can't do much. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough resources. The police department is trying to do what they can. But what do you do? Is there enough police officers? Do we call in the National Guard? What is it going to finally take for us to step up? I made a speech a couple weeks ago, and I said that if the city can't do anything, then it's time for the parents to step up. You have a God-given right to protect your child. You have a God-given right to make sure your child is safe. Children can't even lay in bed without a bullet coming through a window or a door. But yet we want our children to go to school and concentrate on their schoolwork. We want our children to go to school and behave. We want our children to go to school and act like they didn't see the ambulance outside with the police officers picking up another body. And then we look at them and we say, is everything's going to be okay? Everything's going to be all right. And then you get up in the morning, you turn on the news, and all you hear is X amount of people got shot, X amount of people got killed at this location. You can't go to a party. I'm looking at University of Virginia, and 3 football players are gunned down. At another college, 4 students stabbed to death. Where does it end? When does it stop? How many people have to die before somebody stands up and says, enough is enough? To be honest with you, for me, those who like to pull the trigger, those who like to shoot people, get them together, send them over to Beirut, send them over to Afghanistan, send them over where the fighting is. Somebody's going to be shooting back at them. What makes me the weaker person is because I don't have a gun. So somebody approaching me with a gun, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to fight back? Oh, he was a good person. He loved his family. He was a good worker. He did his job. And he tried to fight the person who was carjacking him, and they shot him. So I don't want to hear all that. If I buy a car, I worked for it, I shouldn't have to fight anybody. I shouldn't have to worry about somebody stealing it or putting a gun to my head saying, give me your car. People out here are blatantly running stop signs, running red lights. and not, no fault of the police, but of course there's never anybody around. I just coming in to the studio today, I avoided two head-on collisions because people don't want to stop at stop signs. Things are changing. I get it. Things are not the same as they used to be. I get it. But when it comes to putting somebody's life in danger, when it comes to you know, some of these cars around, they got babies in the car, no seat belts. You can sit in your car and look at them in their car, and they're bouncing around and jumping around, what have you. Where's our sense of caring? Where's our sense of responsibility? I've made my mistakes as a father, but my job right now is to keep my sons and my daughter safe. That's my responsibility. I don't care how old you are, how old you get. You will always be my son, my daughter, my children. Parents, let's step up. Let's get back to our streets. I like having a cookout on the block. I like being able to go outside and get some air. Or I have to worry about if I go outside, I got to look down the street and up the street before I get to my car. So let's take the time to really look at what is it can we do? How can we all come together and make things happen in favor of our children? We call our children our future. Well, the future is now, and we really need to step up. So I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. I want you to be safe. I want you to take care. And just remember that I love you, but God loves you best. God bless. Take care, and I'll see you again.